The executive orders that President Biden has already signed include some major shifts away from Trump-era policies. That includes a halt to deportations for most people. The Trump administration's deportation rules made anyone who came to the United States without going through a specific set of legal hoops vulnerable to deportation, including adults who came here as children and who've lived here most of their lives. In Michigan, that put a couple of specific groups of people on edge, including Arabs, Chaldeans, and Latinos. Here to tell us how some in the Latino community are receiving the news about Biden's reversal of deportation rules is Maria Ibarra. She's an advocate with We the People Michigan. Maria, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So much has happened in the past 24 hours. What was your reaction when you heard that President Biden suspended deportations?
I was excited, a little bit surprised, actually, to be honest. I didn't expect him to do that or to follow through, especially because he hadn't really talked about that during his campaign. And I'm also cautious. I've seen a lot of immigration-related promises. So I'm cautious, and I have a lot of questions about what's going to happen, primarily to people right now who are detained, who are in immigration detention, people who've been detained for a very, very long time, and would want to see if they're going to be released, because they're every day they're facing particularly a very strong threat of COVID. So I have a lot of questions as well.
What is your sense of the pace of deportations over the past 6 months or so?
You know, it's kind of wild. For some people, it's really, really fast. It's faster than they're ready. You know, no one's ever ready for deportation. But for some people, it's they get detained for something as simple as being pulled over for a routine traffic stop. And then within a few weeks, they're deported. But then for other people, particularly people who are from countries other than like the traditional places like Mexico, or people who want to fight their case, it's been longer. So I've worked with folks who've been in detention for years. I remember talking with some folks last year who've been in detention for probably somewhere between six to 12 months. And these were folks who had complicated immigration cases, people who were here looking for asylum, people who screen cards had been expired and they weren't able to renew it. So their case was much more complicated and they wanted to stay and fight it. And they'd been in detention for many as long as like over a year.
I was curious about how COVID might be affecting the pace of this work, both for people who are pressing for deportation and people who are fighting it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's made it much more difficult. I remember we had a couple cases of people who, honestly, they were trying to be deported. This is like so, it's so heartbreaking that it has come to this point where people would rather be sent back to their home countries where they face imminent threat than to be locked up in a cage and risk being exposed to COVID and then also not having the adequate care, because we all know and we know that detention centers, jails, prisons are no place for health care. They don't have those resources. It's made it really complicated and really confusing, honestly, to sometimes feel like the thing that we're fighting for is a speedier deportation, because that's the best case scenario for that person.
We know that DHS is now reviewing some of the related policies to see what should stay and what should go. What would you like to see get some attention right now?
Definitely the asylum policies and how people are treated when they seek asylum in the U.S. I know that that's part of the memo that Biden's endowed a review of what this looks like in ending the stay in Mexico mandate. I would want to see some very strong effort to try to repair the harm that happened to all those families and children that were separated at the border over the past 3-4 years. To try to see what family reunifications can be made. And, you know, this is what I think about all the time. I'm sure that people would have pushed back against this, but I really think there should be some kind of compensation to those families for the emotional and psychological trauma that has caused them. And also, you know, there's part of Biden's plans is a proposal for immigration reform. at a national level, which I think would be amazing and incredible, but I'm very cautious and I'm not allowing myself to get excited until something is actually signed into law and also enacted, because as we've seen, just because something is law doesn't mean it's actually going to happen until people that I love, my community, my family, my loved ones are actually being able to adjust their status.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty notable that Biden is proposing this pathway to citizenship at this moment. That's something that's been hanging out there for years and years and years with no action. We know that Biden's plan proposes an 8-year path that's relatively short compared with some other proposals that have been under discussion over time. What do you think would be important to making that pathway a realistic step for people to take?
I think it needs to address all the different kinds of ways that people came into the U.S. and how long they've been here. I would hate for that plan to have some kind of caveat about, like, if you came in a particular way or if you only been here a particular amount of time that you're not eligible. Because we can't have these kind of piecemeal plans that only address and only provide solutions for certain people. You know, we see that with DACA, that it was great for undocumented young people that were here within a certain time frame, but there's this whole new generation of young people who are undocumented and don't qualify, and it just keeps causing the same problems over and over. So if it's actually going to be comprehensive, how do we look at the around 11 million people here who are undocumented and right now have no actual legal pathway? There's no line you can get into. There's no application that you can fill out to become a citizen, and creating some kind of system that works for everyone that is also affordable. That's the big thing. Immigration processes are incredibly expensive, like thousands and thousands of dollars, not to mention the fees for a lawyer, which is also, you know, a process like this could easily look around like $5,000 per person. Mm-hmm. It has to be affordable for people, especially right now. Otherwise, it's not going to be anything.
Yeah. The last time we talked to you, the question on the table was just the future for DACA recipients. Now, a freeze on deportations, talk of a pathway to citizenship. What are the stakes for all the folks who might be affected by these decisions?
It's a lot of, still a lot of uncertainty. Just, you know, this is a halt for 100 days. 100 days is 3 months. It's going to be, you know, you can easily spend that much time in detention and nothing really happens to your case. So there is still a lot of uncertainty. I think most of the people that I know who are undocumented, who are going through this every day, have been very cautious and are kind of just like, okay, we'll see. They've heard these promises for the last, I've been doing this work for over 10 years. And I know that the first time I ever heard about the Dream Act was like around 2001. So people have been hearing these kinds of things for the past 20 years. I think at stake is sort of like their livelihood, their ability to make plans for themselves, or just to have some peace of mind that things won't change all of a sudden, just as if they've done for the last 4 years, that something is proposed and all of a sudden there's all these barriers that get put up by the administration or by the Supreme Court or by the Senate. So folks, we'll need some time to actually see whether or not these things come through.
Yeah, I imagine it's got to be very difficult to even just, you know, manage one's expectations in that situation. These are normally life decisions that have huge effects on people's lives. You know, they affect family structure and marriage and kids' relationships with their parents and so many other things. But to turn them into these long-running procedural and bureaucratic affairs, I wonder what effect that has on people's emotions and relationships long-term.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's really hard to not know exactly how to plan your life, what's going to happen. So speaking to DACA, as myself as a DACA recipient, there's been, I don't know, at this point I've lost track of how many times DACA was in danger and then it wasn't and then it was. It's really hard to feel like you can make a plan for yourself. I know a lot of folks who were worried about whether or not they could have a job where they were going to feel like they were safe. It's very emotionally difficult to live with so much uncertainty. especially when you add the added layer of it's really difficult to live in a world of COVID right now where there's so much uncertainty. So adding this extra level of like, okay, am I going to be able to stay here in this country long term? Or the U.S. government has all the information they need to know about me. Are they going to use that potentially to remove everybody? So it's a sort of an emotional roller coaster. It's really hard to know exactly what to do when your life plans are changing every 6 months.
Maria Ibarra with We the People Michigan. Maria, thank you so much for talking with us again.
Thank you.